Let's go on to my next guest, who is waiting, and I'm very excited to bring him on. We have Ghanim Al-Sulaiti, a vegan entrepreneur and the founder and driving force behind Qatar's first vegan cafe, Evergreen Organics, the co-founder in Cambodia of the first vegan cafe, Vibe, the founder of Botany, a vegan ethical skincare line, and founder of the Good Vibe Foundation, which aims to feed 10,000 school children healthy vegan food in Cambodia. Ghanim is passionate about raising awareness about conscious living by promoting a plant-based lifestyle and is invested in the holistic approach to diet and health. And his goal with Vibe is to inspire people from all over the world to live a healthier lifestyle. Welcome and thank you for joining me, Ghanim.
Hi, how are you? How's it going?
Good. And did I pronounce your name correctly?
Yes.
Excellent.
I mean, yeah, you made it right.
Thank you. It's early for you, isn't it?
It's actually very late for us. It's 12 midnight.
Oh, not so bad. Where are you right now?
So I'm in Doha, actually, Qatar.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm back into Qatar. But a couple of weeks ago, I was in Cambodia, so...
Okay.
But yeah, back and forth all the time.
Yeah, so I found out about you because my friend was traveling around Asia and ended up in Cambodia at your vegan cafe there. And
That's amazing. I think the world is it's a very small place right now, and especially for our vegan society, we're really, you know, coming together, and I can see how, you know, we're growing so much, but at the same time, you know, we are like all are, you know, coming to one place to kind of, you know, help each other and support one another, which is awesome.
When I hear about people like yourself, things happening in places that are far away from where I live, doing the wonderful things that you are, it gives me a lot of hope. And we live in a very crazy world. I think it's been crazy for a very long time. It seems especially heightened crazy here in the United States these days with our federal government and our leader that I don't even want to mention his name. And it's giving us a lot of challenges and giving us a bad reputation. But so it's important for us to focus on our individual lives and what we can do and what we can control. And I'm always saying that food is something that really can make a difference on so many levels. So just tell me, how did you get started wanting to promote a plant-based lifestyle?
Well, it all started, I mean, 4 years ago. So I've been vegan for 4 years.
Congratulations.
And, I've lived in the U.S. for 4 years. I've graduated from, you know, university in Philly. So I got my inspiration while being in Philly back in 2013. I was watching Good Morning America one day, and then Kimberly Snyder, a very famous author, came on the show, and she was promoting her book. And I remember, like, she was talking about that book, you know, like, no, how food actually changed her life and, you know, kind of how it changed her look, changed her kind of health. And from that point, I went to Barnes & Noble, which was like a couple of blocks away, and I got the book and started my journey from there. And I think I started experimenting on my body, and I felt better. Every time I started like to substitute like to a vegan alternative, I was like always feeling better and better. And then when I just started, you know, reading a lot and meeting a lot of people who live on this lifestyle and traveling across the globe, meeting people and seeing cultures that have been surviving on a vegan diet, mainly a plant-based diet, for years, and they're doing amazing, and they're, you know, people are living to reach 100 and 105, and you know, people are still healthy, and that just, you know, actually made me question a lot of the stuff that we have in our culture and a lot of the stuff that we have in our, you know, in our lifestyle that we just don't, we think that it's right for us, but then once you start questioning, it just becomes a reality, kind of like a quick, you know, reality check that it's not actually good for us.
Yeah.
And from that point, I became fully vegan, and I didn't want to kind of at that point to say it to anybody or to tell people that I was vegan. And I mean, especially being from Doha, from Qatar, where we are like, you know, I'm sure, I mean, everybody, you know, all the cultures around the world are meat, you know, oriented, but I think in our culture is a bit more intense.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what is the meat culture there where you are?
Exactly. I mean, the meat culture is quite intense, and I think, it was a bit challenging in the beginning, but I think once I've believed to, like, in what I was doing and when I made sure that what I'm doing is right, because, you know, you wake up every morning thinking that, oh my God, am I doing the right thing or not? And I think, you know, for me, reading books and meeting people and talking about it a bit loudly, I think that's what makes me a bit believe more in what I'm doing. And I think that just gave me the confidence to move forward. And then one day I realized while I was in Paris, actually, how people are feeling amazing coming to these vegan places, and how it actually, it's not just cafes. It's actually the whole community that comes with the space that you're trying to create. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, we need, like, this is what, let's say, my country needs, or where I live, and I can't survive without that community. So I had to create something like that. And once that was done, I guess, then when I was traveling to Asia, because I was always around Asia, the idea came when I was in Cambodia, because there was nothing like vegan 100% in the city. And that idea came again. And then that's when I had kind of my vision to kind of also try to share and make access, like, vegan food accessible to a lot, to cities and countries that don't have it. I mean, I'm not, okay, you know what I mean? My vision is to kind of give that at least one option in every city, at least one, but a good option, very good option. So I guess that's where it all started. And it just brought me to a place where I felt that this is my message and this is my goal. And kind of, you know, I've seen the faces of the people when they, you know, when, I mean, people come to us and say, oh my God, you've saved our lives. And sometimes it gets to actually that far, because I've been traveling a lot, and I've been to Nepal, I've been to, like, in a lot of Asian countries where it was so difficult to find clean food and healthy, you know, plant-based food. Even though, you know, they have the access to farms and the agriculture is amazing. But I think, you know, with education, with lack of education, I think that's where, I guess, the gap were. And I don't know. I felt that that was the intention for me to be here on Earth. At least that's what I felt finally.
You are saving lives. You're saving non-human animal lives by not eating them and encouraging others to not eat them, as well as improving the health of humans who decide to eat more plants and less animals. So you have two vegan cafes. One's in Qatar, Evergreen, and the other one is Vibe in Cambodia. Can you talk about what's on the menus of these two? I imagine they're different.
Sure. So the one in Qatar is a bit more, I mean, Qatar is a bit difficult in terms of getting the produce and getting the freshest produce. I mean, yes, we live in a kind of a, you know, a desert, country where to grow some of your vegetables are quite hard. I mean, you are limited with the options. So most of this stuff is imported. But I mean, currently we are, you know, I mean, recently we've seen so much huge impact in terms of the organic farms and the grow aspect of that, you know. And, you know, the menu is really international. The chef that we have at Evergreen is actually from New York. Mm. He used to work in Boston and New York for almost 20 years as a vegan chef. So he's amazing. So he created an international menu with, you know, with like vegan burgers and raw pizzas and raw ravioli and tacos and, you know, cheesecake with no cheese, chocolate torte and, you know, chocolate Nutella, but it's not Nutella. You know what I mean? Like all of these amazing, but it's actually very healthy because we only use whole food, plant-based, you know, ingredients. We don't use any, you know, packaged food, no processed food, no white sugar, no white flour. Nothing from a can, and we're trying our best to kind of avoid soy, as you know, the GMO that comes with it. So there's a lot of, you know, we've put a lot of consciousness in it. That's with Doha's more, even though it's a cafe, but it's at the end of the day, when you actually come there and you experience the food, it's more of a restaurant kind of a standard. Vibe is a bit more, kind of simple in terms of the food. Still, you get all of these amazing, you know, quesadilla, and you get, you know, like the, you know, bowls, which are like, you know, we in Vibe, we always try to focus on kind of abundance of fruits and vegetables, and that's why in every dish it's kind of more of a of an abundance kind of feeling you get, because you get a lot of the, like a lot of the, you know, colors and ingredients in a bowl. And it's kind of more of a, as I said, a simple cafe, very, you can easily see the ingredients, and you can easily like point out what is on the dish rather than being like, oh my God, I can't know what's actually in the dish. But at the same time, we have cold pressed juices, raw vegan desserts, and that's in both places.
I want to come and try it out. Sounds so good.
And, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner in both places. And I think, yeah, trying to kind of cover up all the things. We have whole food section where you can come and grab, you know, almond butter and cashew butter, because we make it all in-house. You know, homemade pesto, sauerkraut, kimchi, kombucha, you know, all of these amazing things, which are like, we're trying to kind of have that one-stop experience for the customers, as you know, it's just like you want to find that one space where you can just go in and have your food, trust them, you know, get everything you want while you're traveling. And yeah, I guess that's, I mean, it's a very, very interesting menu, and it's huge actually, and people can look through it online before, I mean, coming to the restaurant. And I think it's really it's very interesting, but definitely, you know, both places have its own environment. I mean, in Vibe, we have the farms that are, you know, a couple of miles away from the cafe. So we get it so fresh in the morning, like you get the freshest ingredients. In Doha, it's a bit more of a challenge in terms of getting like the freshest ingredients, even though we still try like get it. But I think it's just like it takes a bit more of a challenge to get it. Yeah.
Fantastic. I'm just curious. We have a caller. And I want to bring her on, okay?
Sure.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi there.
Hey, Karen, how are you?
Hi, Robin.
Hi. Yeah, hi. How are you?
Good. So Robin is here, and she's the one who let me know about you, Ghanim, and your
cafe
and Vibe.
Hi. Hi,
hey,
Ghanim.
Robin.
How are you? Hi. Oh, I'm good.
Oh my God. So, the world is literally is a small place. Like.
So, Karen, I love the interview. It's great.
Thank you. I want to know what you ate while you were at the Vibe Cafe.
Well, I had a couple juices. I remember one was passion fruit. I don't remember the other. And I had the bean burger, and I bought those mini donuts to take back to my hotel, almonds and
Yum.
Chocolate and Dayton. I think I bought a couple of them. And the burger was interesting because it was bean and it had bread, and I probably had not had bread in almost a month. So I was so happy to have a piece of bread. And I don't eat that much bread, but it was just so comforting to be there, you know, from the time I walked in, because Phnom Penh's not exactly an easy city. It's busy, it's hectic, it just was so intense. And eating, as you were talking about, in Southeast Asia can be a bit of a challenge. And the night before, my group, we got to the hotel late, and we had an arranged dinner across the street, and I'm not going to rain on anyone's parade, but people in my group were eating fried scorpions and fried ants in their pasta. And if they want to, that's fine. But I was so desperate to eat at a place that I felt home was, you know, that the place was home, and that I walked into your beautiful restaurant and I just took a deep breath, and I was so happy and so relieved.
Oh my God, I'm so happy to hear that, actually.
Yeah.
Thank you. And is Fania, is she listening, or
yes.
will she get to hear this?
Fania, you mean the manager? I'm sure she I don't know. I mean, they're sleeping now in Cambodia, so I'm not sure if she's up now.
She can listen later.
She's amazing as well. Beautiful.
You can say hi to Pania. Yeah.
she said to me, I love meeting vegans from all over the world.
Yes, I love meeting vegans from all over the world. Robin, how did you find out about Vibe?
I do a lot of research, as you know, and I probably did some Googling of just vegan Cambodia, vegan Phnom Penh, but then, of course, I went to happycow.net, you know? And Ganim, I read the menus of a number of, you know, there were some other vegan restaurants listed. I read it, and then I reread it maybe a few hours later, and I said to my tour leader, this is a good place. This is a good place, because I really wanted to understand where I was going, because at that point I was just so hungry. I plan to email him so he knows for the future how great. Well, I told him it was great, but I'll continue. It was wonderful.
Well, that's something that all of us can do when we go on tours and we discover something, to let our tour guide know of places for vegans or anyone who's looking for healthy food where they can feel at home.
I felt at home, and it's so beautiful. Upstairs, and there's three levels, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it was so beautiful. Karen, there's a garden room, and it's so tranquil. And the streets are so busy and so difficult, for me at least. And just walking in there was amazing and so clean. And I tried to go to the one in Siem Reap a few days later, but unfortunately I became ill and I just stayed at my hotel and I couldn't go anywhere. But I knew it was there, and I felt so bad, but I'm so happy I had this experience in a country, in Cambodia.
Well, Robin, thank you for letting me know about Ganim. I'm excited to be able to talk to him and learn about his projects, and thanks for calling it.
Thank you. Bye, Ganim.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. It was great
Karen.
Hearing you.
Bye. Oh, I love how small the world is sometimes.
It is. It is. It is. Really, actually. It's actually, sometimes... it's actually overwhelming to know how easy and simple you can easily connect nowadays, and it's kind of like so simple to keep in touch with people, and it's just fascinating. So
tell me, how do your family and friends respond to your work and your projects and your plant-based lifestyle?
I think from day one, I made the decision by myself without sharing it to anybody, even my family. I think I kept it to myself for a few months. And then after a few months, I'm sure they've noticed, and everybody was telling me like, oh, you're avoiding meat and you're avoiding chicken and fish and all the dairy products. And I was like, yes. And that's when I had to kind of tell them. And they all thought I'm crazy at that point. And I would say like 4 years ago, vegan is not even a word to be used. Vegetarian wasn't even a word to use in Doha, let's say. So even telling them that I'm not eating meat or chicken, it's like it didn't make any sense. But I was always trying to convince them, always trying to kind of talk to them about it and explain and trying to get them through the same experience. But I never was successful to do that. So at some point I just like said, you know what, I'm just gonna, if I feel great, if I feel amazing, if I feel different, if I feel the purpose and I feel the reason what I'm doing it, so why should I even put the energy out on trying to kind of prove to people that what I was doing is right? So let me just do whatever I think is right and put the energy back in. And that's what I did. And I remember the first day when I opened Evergreen, even though my family knew that I was opening the restaurant, they didn't buy into the idea until the day of the opening. Mm-hmm. So once they came into the opening, what shook them is that it was full. Like seriously, from the first 5 minutes that we've opened, it was packed. Non-vegan mm-hmm. people, for sure. It wasn't like vegan people
Curious.
Who came in. It was like just like the community.
Yeah.
But my dad was like, oh my God, like now I get it. Now I get it.
Good.
And I think at that moment I was like, I'm so proud. I was like, oh my God, finally, Like, but it, I don't know what happened at that time. Like, I don't know if it's the people. I don't know if it's just the culture. Like, if he's, the, if people can see it, that it's actually happening and it's actually working. And that people actually, there's demand for it. I think that's when people clicked their mind. So I guess from that point, my family started accepting the whole idea. And now my mom is semi-vegan. I would say she's vegan until 5 p.m. in the afternoon. My dad at least drinks green smoothie every morning with me and have, fruit platters. And he at least he have these, green juices that I do all the time. My brother is vegetarian, which he just turned a couple of years ago.
Beautiful.
My friends, I've switched all my friend group that I travel with are now vegetarian, vegan. They bought into it and, I'm happy because I get to travel and I get to choose the restaurants that I want and everybody would come with me. And so I don't have to go to restaurants that I don't want to go to.
Well, I want to congratulate and commend you for number one, discovering what it is that you were put on the planet to do, and mm-hmm. then having the courage to do it, because a lot of people look for approval from their friends and family, mm-hmm. and when they don't mm-hmm. get it right away or ever, it makes it extra challenging. So good for you.
Sure. Thank you so much. Thank you. I think it's quite a journey, and I think every day I'm still learning, and yes, I'm vegan today and I've been vegan for 4 years and I have these vegan businesses. And I always tell people around me, they would say, oh, are you doing this forever? Are you doing this for, And I always tell people that I'm today, now I can talk about what I know today and what I know now at this moment. I don't want to talk about 10 years from today. Well, I don't know what's going to happen. Five years ago, I didn't know that I'm going to be vegan and I'm going to have, three businesses across the globe and I never thought that. So I think you never know what's going to happen. What's going to be the next thing? Could it be a different diet? Could it be a different thing? I don't know. But I know that today vegan is the answer and vegan is the future that I think would be. And it makes me feel amazing. And I think that's the most important thing.
Beautiful. Yeah. Well, I've been doing it for almost 30 years and I think vegan is the answer.
Yes, that's amazing. I love to hear that.
Yes. Can we talk about the Good Vibe Foundation, where you're aiming to feed 10,000 school children? What is that about?
So the idea came in the beginning before we did Vibe. I always wanted to create a space where, a restaurant or a cafe where you go in, and I wanted to change kind of how people perceive cafes. You always go to a cafe, you think you're just gonna eat and give the money to somebody and then leave, and you think the money goes into the to buy stocks and food and for the company to kind of get profits or whatever. And I wanted to kind of include the customers to a bit of a journey and a bit of an experience and give them a bit of a different view on when you actually come to a restaurant and you're eating, you're not just making your body healthy, you're not saving the environment, you're not just saving the animals, but you're actually giving back to the community by every time you're eating. So we've connected and created this foundation so that every time you eat a Vibe, let's say, Vibe donate 10% of the profit of whatever you've eaten to the foundation. So every time you've actually eaten anything at Vibe, it automatically goes to the foundation. And then I've connected all my businesses that I have. So I have Botany, which is an ethical product brand, which is have candles and skincare line, and every time you buy a product, it goes directly also to to the foundation. So I wanted to kind of connect every single business that I have and other people businesses. So whenever you go to that business, it automatically feeds somebody else out there healthy vegan food. Going back to the foundation, I think we all, a lot of people think that vegan food is expensive and vegan food is only for the rich people. And a lot of people just link that to kind of, you can't afford vegan food. And I hate to hear that because vegan food is so simple and so easy to kind of have your hands on. And I think I wanted to also show that, even in rural communities and it's always the solution. It's always the, because I always see charities and other, other organizations when they go to kind of give back to the community, they always give the cheapest kind of food, the cheapest kind of, ingredients to to the kids or to whoever it needs. And I think that's, you know, everybody deserves great food and healthy food, and no matter what. And I think healthy food is satisfying and filling and nutritious. And to start in Cambodia was because, you know, Cambodia have a big kind of number in terms of, you know, children that are, you know, they have lack of nutrition. They don't go to school because they get sick. And I guess it's just because we have this business in Cambodia, and I wanted to kind of connect the communities in Cambodia with that and make sure that, you know, I always love the idea of giving back, and I think it's an important thing, you know, for the earth to keep doing, for the earth to keep giving us. I think we always have to give back, and I think it just makes it a great, experience for whoever. I just love the idea of if you're eating vegan, then you're also giving a chance for another kid out there to eat vegan. Not just, you know, and I want to kind of share that with a lot of people. And yeah, 10,000 children, this is our aim this year. And we're moving forward, and we're moving, you know, kind of very ambitious. And we did some projects a couple of weeks ago when I was there, and it was amazing to meet the kids actually not to just to give them meals. And I, you know, we teach them, you know, we talk to them, we teach them about vegetables and eating, you know, fresh food, and trying to kind of raise the awareness in the community. And I think it's a small thing that we are doing at the moment, but I think it's going to get bigger and bigger eventually. And it just makes all the businesses that I do make sense at the end of the day, and it makes that, and it gives that kind of I guess at the end of the day, that kind of peace of mind when you think of the options and the opportunities that other people don't have, and you're being part of it, and you're part of giving back to whoever.
I love
whoever.
It, Ghanim. It's just such a great story, and I love hearing about everything that you're doing. It just inspires me. I'm so glad to know you're out there, and I wish you all the success. And people that are traveling to these places, Qatar and Cambodia, should find out about these wonderful places to eat. Thank you for joining me on It's All About Food.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. And I'm hope to see you one day in real life, and maybe we can
and have a bite.
Know, talk more and have a maybe at Evergreen one day.
Sounds good. I want to go. Okay. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you. Have a good one.
You too. Okay. That was Ghanim Al-Sulaiti. And you can find out more about him by going to responsibilityandliving.com and clicking on this interview. And there are a bunch of links there where you can find out about his projects. Yeah, so we just have a minute and a half left, and I just wanted to quickly mention some of the great food that I've had in the last few days, because I was so excited to discover them. And, of course, if you visit my blog at responsibleeatingandliving.com, my What Vegans Eat daily blog, you can see and read about all of these foods. So we went to PS Kitchen a few days ago. It's a brand new restaurant. It is in the Broadway District at 48th Street. And it's founded by a couple of guys that have a chain called Terry in New York, Craig and Jeff. And we met them, and we met the chef, and we ate this wonderful food. It's a really beautiful restaurant, and the food is very creative and unique. You will not find any green salads or green smoothies. And it's funny, because I was just interviewing Ann Hodgman about her book last week, Vegan Food for the Rest of Us, and there are no salads and green smoothies in her book either. I don't know if this is a trend, but for those of you that just want some really good eating, this is a place for that. You can see their menu online at ps-kitchen.com. And yesterday, I was out with my niece and nephew. They are 10 and 12, and I had about 3 hours to take them around and entertain them. I had this whole itinerary planned, and of course, everything took a lot longer than I expected to. And of course, they were hungry when I wasn't planning on feeding them. And so we got to our one destination, and they wanted something to eat. And it's a little challenging, because one of them has celiac, and we have to be really careful about gluten. And we stumbled upon Pressed Juicery, and I know about them from California. I've been there a number of times. They have green juices, and they recently introduced a new product called Freeze. And it looks like soft serve ice cream. It tastes fabulous, and it's made from fruits like berries, almonds, and dates. And some of the flavors have some extra ingredients, but they're made from whole foods. There's no sugar, certainly no gluten, and they're delicious. And to give some children a treat like that when they haven't had breakfast, you can feel really good about it. It was really fun, and I was so excited to find it, Pressed Juicery. Another place that we stopped at was Friedman's. Oh, am I out of time? I'm out of time, so I'll have to talk about that next week. Or you can go to my blog, What Vegans Eat. In the meantime, have a very delicious week. I'm Karen Hartglass. You've been listening to It's All About Food.